Welcome to Sacred Magic. Violet is on a quest to bring sacredness back into our everyday experiences. Anyone can have an extraordinary life when they are able to tap into the sacred magic within. Violet and her guests will be sharing their divine passions, inspirations, and stories of connecting with their sacred magic. We are so happy you have joined us today. Let's get started with your host, the magical creator of Discover Your Spiritual Gifts, Violet Rain.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sacred Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Violet Rain. And today's guest is a repeat guest. I love having her on the show. Her name is Andarta. She's a professional psychic who performs tarot and oracle card readings, past life regressions, shamanic journey work, and Reiki healing. She's an empath who can sense people's feelings as well as a clairvoyant, clairaudient to hear and see any messages that people need to know. She is also a certified death doula through the International End of Life Doula Association. One of her crafts is creating anointing oils, which are used for ritual purposes, simple candle magic, with some oils that can be used as perfume and bath oils. And so she does lots and lots of things. So we're excited to have her on. Today, we want to talk in the realm of the death doula and dying, all those things, that topic that most people want to avoid, but is really important for us to step into. So I'm excited to have her on today to talk about this. So share with us a little bit, what got you into thinking about being a death doula? And what does that really mean for those watching that have no idea what we're talking about?
Right. Thank you for having me on here. I think it's important to have these conversations, as much as it may make people a little uncomfortable, because our society is very much a death denying society, that we pretend that it's just never going to happen for our loved ones or for ourselves. And so a death doula is basically the opposite of a birth doula, a person that is there for catching the baby, you know, that is emerging into life. Instead, a death doula is a person that is staying with somebody that is going through the dying process. And, obviously this is not going to be, I have been called in emergency situations, or been there in some type of a coaching capacity online for emergency deaths. But this is more for people that have some type of, health issue, or they're just, our bodies just eventually slow down and stop. And we don't want to ever admit that. Because our society is very much about youth and about living eternally, living as long as possible. And not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, but then the more we keep projecting that ideal of youth, eternal youth, never ending, that's, I think, part of one of the reasons, I think, why our society is very much a death denying society.
Well, it's interesting because I think in the United States, definitely so. We've let go of ceremony and ritual around death. Yes. It's like it's the person dies and we just sweep them to the mortuary. Yeah. And, kind of leave our hands. Whereas, centuries ago, our ancient rituals, we would sit around with the dying for days. Yes. And even after they died, they would lay and we would sit around with them for several days before they were even moved. And today you don't see that at all. It's kind of swept. And then, it's just like it's in, I talk a lot about, because I teach a class on soul midwifery, which is the same thing as a death doula, soul midwifery. Mm-hmm. But it's about, how do we hold sacred space for the dying? How do we understand that transition process? Because it can be as beautiful and as sacred as bringing life in a birth, if it's done appropriately, right, to support that person. And a lot of people don't understand that. So I think the conversation is really important because we spend lots of time in that class talking about our fears, our anxieties around death, because we all hold that, what our perspectives of that is, compared to, you know, other parts of the world that hold a sacred space for grieving and transition. And we just don't, we don't do a good job at that at all.
No. Well, and that, you know, and also, and so it gets back to your question that you had at the beginning here is what got me into this? Well, I had honestly been very drawn to the idea of death doula-ing, but it was COVID that ultimately I'm like, I got to do this. I have to do this, because that's when our society very much was faced with a pandemic, many people dying at once, and people having a hard time facing the death of their loved ones and or of themselves, obviously. And so I, you know, started the training in 2021. And then I, so anybody can go through the training. You don't have to necessarily be a death doula for other people. I honestly highly recommend any and all people to go through some type of death doula training for their loved ones, for their parents, for anybody that, you know, may be elderly in their lives, so that they are not, so that it's not that pretending that it's never going to happen. We're just going to, you know, pray and hope and, you know, and just let them, you know, and a lot of people, I think the thing that really affects me the most from this work, especially when I was working on my certification. So with the certification, you have to do 50 hours of community service with the hospice. And I think one of the things that really solidified that I need to do this work was how many people I went in to sit with in their last moments of life, and they didn't have one soul with them. I was the only person there, and either because of choice or because they didn't have anybody else. I mean, there's many different circumstances, but a lot of people, you know, that I had sat with, they were estranged from, you know, children, brothers, sister, whatever, you know, and it just really, it solidified to me that people, if they pretend that they're just not dying, then it'll just maybe not happen. Or I think a lot of it is because our society, you know, we're very much removed from even, you know, death as far as our own food goes. I mean, we don't have to hunt anymore. The vast majority of people do not have to farm. We don't see death. Not that I'm like, yay, death, but at the same time, we're not exposed to it. And so just the idea of a life going to not, just not existing anymore, at least not in the physical, is just really unsettling for us, because we don't know how to comprehend it if we're not even facing it in our day-to-day lives.
That's true. You know, when I was younger, I lost my parents and my grandparents by the age of 24. Everybody was gone. Oh, wow. So experiencing parents and grandparents passing away in my teenage years started when I was 8. And by the time I was 24, they were all gone. Wow. Whereas my daughter has never experienced anyone close to her dying.
Right.
I wished I would have had this knowledge as a child and as a young adult to have a little bit more of an understanding of what was going on.
Right.
And lots of fear around death, because I had seen it at such a young age, that being a spiritual leader and psychic, intuitive, a medium, and doing this work, I'm no longer afraid of death, right? I'm no longer afraid or scared of it, because I think it's a beautiful thing when you step in. And if you don't know, I agree with you. We should all have this training as to support family members if you never do anything else with it.
Right.
Because most of the time, and I would say probably 80% of the time, there's no one in the family that's trained on this.
Right.
And you have all these emotions and all these people pulling in 500 different directions because they don't know what to do. And they want to do something.
Right.
Right. And to have somebody there to say, okay, Aunt Margaret, you go cook in the kitchen.
Yes.
Uncle Tom, I need you to go do this, and giving everybody something to do so that they feel like they can do something. And then somebody holding space for the person that's dying, because it's sacred. It's so beautiful.
It is absolutely. Well, and that's part of why I have incorporated into my business, is that I firmly believe that, I mean, this is something that the priestesses of Avalon in ancient times would do, is that they would sit with people as they're crossing over. And so this is part of me reviving some of this work from ancient times, of being there with people as they're crossing over, giving them that space so that they are not afraid. And being psychic, I often would, at those last moments, sometimes they may have fears, or as they're dying, not like the last few moments, of course, but, you know, I get these clients that I may be able to interact with them. And we can have some really meaningful conversations about their fears, about, you know, and I do not ever claim that I have all of the answers about the afterlife or anything like that. So I don't want people to think that. And this says, and this can honestly be inserted, applied to all religions and spiritualities. So this is not just a, you know, this is the only way to think about the things. It's about honoring that person as they are transitioning, honoring their spirit, and, you know, giving them that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to release. It's okay to let go. I do a lot of vigil work. And if I can, when I meet with the clients ahead of time, try to talk to them about what they're wanting during those final moments, because, like you were saying, everybody is freaking out at those final moments. And so if you have a plan, you know, playing their favorite music, or, you know, one client loved me reading to her favorite crime novels, you know, whatever it is. And scent can be a little tricky, because, you know, as people are dying, sometimes their sense of smell might be a little affected. So I wouldn't really say, oh yes, it had lots of incense going, because that may not be the best idea. It just really depends. But having a calm setting, having a space that people can release, as opposed to, I mean, just looking at it from a karmic perspective of how is that person's death. And I sometimes talk with my close friends about, you know, it's like, oh, that was a good death. And that sounds so crazy weird, but it's like, was that a space and time where that person was able to release and let go, or was it traumatic? You know, and obviously we can't help any emergency traumatic deaths, but, you know, with those, declining deaths, what was even those experiences? You know, how did the people react? You know, like you were saying, is that people can be freaking out at that time. And let's just, you know, take a step back and let's just focus on that person, you know, because a lot of people, they focus on their own grief, which I totally understand. However, you know, you need to be there for that person to hold space.
Right? And people don't understand that, right? And, a couple of things of knowing, they hear everything that's going on in the room.
Yes.
So if people are arguing over who gets what,
if you
have people that are, you know, breaking down from sorrow, all that affects, mom, don't leave me, you have to stay.
Right.
All that has an influence on that person.
Absolutely.
And having a calm, sacred space, setting an altar of whatever their beliefs are, a fuzzy blanket, soft pillow, a cuddly, whatever that is, to create that really sacred space for them for that transition is really, really important. And what we found in a lot of this is they time it. You might think they're not aware of what's going on. They're totally aware and they're totally in the driver's seat. They will pass on specific dates at specific times to represent
certain people.
Certain people's birthday or when somebody else passed. They'll also wait till everyone leaves the room. So everybody goes to get a cup of coffee and everything's cool. And while they're gone, they will go because they'll do it when there's no. So all these things of understanding and knowing, you know, just, and she's talking about smells. They get really sensitive to smells and touch and different things. So you want to have things that are really calming.
Gentle.
And everybody's different and what that looks like, what that is for them, and really creating that space. You know, if you want to argue and debate something, go down the hallway and do it somewhere else, not here.
Yeah.
Let's make this a sacred space for them where it's calm and loving, supportive, all of that. Because when you tell your loved one, you can't leave me, you're asking them to hang on.
Yes. That's and they will. Fair. They will linger for days, possibly, in pain. It's like, do you really want them to be lingering in pain for days? You know, it, when it's an inevitable thing. That's what I'm saying is that, that our society is very much a death-denying society. That if I just keep asking you, and then people are like, oh, it's a miracle. They lasted an extra 3 days. Well, of course they lasted an extra 3 days because you kept begging them. You know, I mean, and it's just, you know, you want to let them go on their terms when they are ready. And hopefully at that point, when I, if I'm being called in, that we're not having to deal with any type of will situations. But I also have a lot of people ask me about wills and living wills and DOA, all the different things. And, you know, I think that, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's so morbid. I don't want to talk about, you know, it's like, well, it's being responsible. Okay. It's getting to that place where, you know, and doing it when you are all healthy and everything is the best time rather than when things are going pear shape and then everybody's scrambling and you definitely don't want things to go to court, you know, and, or get into the legal loops and things like that. So it's best to be responsible and just get all that stuff ironed out while you're able to. So that way there's no question, you know, and that's where you can really write in, you know, what are your final wishes? You know, what's the type of, you know, and I do a lot of visual, you know, writing. So, you know, if that person wants to have a specific type of thing, but you can also just write that in, you know, because I mean, obviously, a lot of people are still not familiar with what even a vigil is, or, you know, why we would even do it, right? When it's just helping them to cross over, right? But getting all of the legality things, get that all done sooner than later. So that way, you know, you can just focus on being with that person in their final moments rather than worrying about the X, Y's, and Z's, you know, and then it's also, once again, if that's all that you're really worrying about when somebody is dying, then, you know, what kind of a relationship is that really, right? But death and mourning bring out the worst in people. And so you want to try to curb all of that as best as you can't obviously control people's emotions. But if there is a way to curb a lot of that, when you already know that these two people are constantly going to be fighting about X, Y, and Z, just get it all done now. Just get it all figured out. Even if it's a very basic online will, get it, you know, printed out and notarized. So that way there's just not any questions about any of those things.
And there's so many decisions that have to be made.
There
like
are.
What type? And most
there
people
are.
Don't realize that there are lots and lots of ways. You can be cremated. You can be made into a tree. There's water. There's all kinds of different variations that if all those decisions are made by that person, right? It's set. I want to be a tree. I've decided I want to be turned into a tree. And there are lots of ways to do that these days where you can do that, especially in some states. And you got to understand what you can do in particular states and what's available. Right. And so having somebody that has some of that understanding or at least can point you in the right direction is really, really important to be able to do that. I know here in Colorado, we have a death doula association that actually kind of started in my center. A group of them got together and created this. And so it just keeps growing. So I love to see their progress.
Yes.
And, you know, they support people. So there's lots of ways to do this. And not everyone is made to do this, but there are certain people that are really drawn to this work, that love to be at hospice, that love to work with death and dying, that love to be there for just that reason you said. Yeah. There are so many people that are dying alone with no family, no friend, no one there. And these people love to be that person to hold space for those individuals that may not have anyone when they're dying. Yes.
Right. Well, and, you know, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love babies. I really, really love babies. But from a priestess perspective, the goddesses that I work with the most are the death goddesses. And so it really sort of like was a duh moment as far as, you know, the path that I would be taking. And, you know, I think that especially, you know, I really try to advocate a lot for LGBTQ people, that there's a lot of tension and strife and issues still today about, you know, family members and whether or not they are, you know, disconnected or not. And so, you know, and also just even our low income people, it's just a vast difference in socioeconomic levels and the respect as you're dying, the things that you are allowed and not allowed to do, which I think that everybody should. I mean, it sounds, like I said, it sounds moral, but I think that everybody should have a good death. I think that everybody should be able to leave their physical bodies, because, you know, I definitely feel that there is that spirit, right? And people do when they're at that last moments. I've experienced it. And scientists and medical people that don't believe in anything astral, they just say that it's hallucinations at the final stages of their death. But they do see those that have crossed over, and they start talking to them, and they see them because they're coming to bring them into astral form. And so, you know, I think just being there and allowing them to have that sacred space. And also, that's part of what I do with the vigil work, is that I call in their loved ones. I call in their ancestors to come hold space with them as they're transitioning, because, you know, just as with any transition, any change, it is uncomfortable. It's weird because you're moving from one state to the other. And so you want to make it as peaceful as possible.
And supportive, right? Because
yes,
we're supporting in the physical, they're supporting in the etheric to get them ready, right?
Yep, so yep, exactly.
They're more comfortable. And, you know, people that have sat with the dying, it's always very interesting, because I think there are stages where a lot of times that individual starts talking to people, "Mom, you're here," or,
yeah,
yep, you know, and they start talking and people are like, "No, they're not here." "Oh yeah, they are. Let them, let them have their process."
Exactly. You know, and a lot of, I think that a lot of it is that people still just get so caught up in their own grief as opposed to focusing on the dying person. That's why the death doula work is really important. It's a third party. I mean, learning how to hold space for people, you can do that for your loved ones, But having a third party come in and just really be that calming presence, I think is, you know, very, very helpful, not just for the dying person, but also for the living, the people that are going through the grief. And that, you know, you go through many different emotions as a person is dying. And a lot of people are afraid to even sit by their loved one that they have loved their entire lives, that they are afraid. And I think that that's just very sad, that you are not giving that person your energy and your time and your acceptance of them moving on. And I think a lot of it is if you're not believing that they are transitioning into spirit form, then yeah, you're going to have a really hard time struggling with that, that they're just not going to be there anymore. But I think that those that believe in spirits, ghosts, whatnot, you know, I think that it's a different feeling, a different level of acceptance, if that makes sense.
It does. And just holding someone's hand, or just like I said, like you said earlier, reading their favorite story or listening to their music or saying prayers, you know, out loud with them, or just setting the space is so beautiful, right? Yes. Just being there with them in those last moments, right? As they transition is really important. And, you know, whether you do this just for you and your family, I know when I got the opportunity to teach this course, I was a little apprehensive. I'll be honest. I was like, I don't know that this is my cup of tea. I don't know if I really want to do this. And Spirit kept nudging and nudging. And as I did more and more research, because I ended up buying like 40 something books and really digging into lots of different things to find out, I found it fascinating and also shifted my perspective on lots of things and what I wanted and what I wanted to ask for. And just very enlightening when you learn more about it and you're like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to talk about versus avoiding or denying it.
Right.
I want to step in and really understand it. It's a big difference.
Sure. So. You know, and it's, this is not saying that if you go through any type of death doula training that you're all of a sudden not going to be sad or anything. You're still going to have the emotions. You're still going to miss your loved ones. So don't get me wrong that this is completely going to change, but it's shifting your perspective on that, that dying process to where it is not about you and your grief. You will have plenty of time for the grieving afterwards. You're giving that person their space. And that is something that I think that our society really doesn't do very well.
And it's true. It's very, very true. Yeah. Whereas some other countries and cultures do it very well and still to this day have lots of ritual and ceremony. And it's not about, as Andarta said earlier, it's not about your beliefs or religion. You can shift this to anyone's beliefs, anyone's ritual practices within their beliefs. It's all the same, but different, right? It's the same, similar processes, but it may be a different focus. Maybe it's having Mother Mary there instead of a goddess there. Maybe, you know, it's the same kind of stuff. It's just aligned more with what their beliefs are and where they're at. And it's not our opportunity to change what they believe. It's not about that. It's about what do you believe? What do you want? How do you want us to hold space for you? What do you want us to bring in so that we're supporting you? And it's beautiful to help people right exactly where they are. Right. No matter what they believe or what they think, just to hold space. Because, well, you know, the ultimate thing is we all go to the same place. There's not a Catholic heaven or a Protestant heaven and a Mormon heaven, and they're not separated. We all come from the same place. We all go back to the same place. It doesn't matter. And I don't think there's anybody up there judging what we think or how we believe. They're just welcoming us home. So how do you want to be, how do you want that process to go? So
And just just allowing for that releasing and, you know, just the karmic ties of, you know, knowing that they're going to be transitioning into a different body, that they are going whenever they're ready, right? Because it all is, that's another thing I always get a lot of questions about is, well, when do I start? Some people, they are really upset because they don't have experiences with their loved one right afterwards, and some people do, and you know, and some people, they're just, you know, I'm just like, well, you know what, they're still trying to figure out how to be in spirit form, you know. So it's all a transition, and especially when you're not in a physical body that is dictated by the time, by the sun rotations, then, you know, things get a little, you know, wonkadoo. You know, it's just a matter of figuring out how, you know, how things go in actual form. And, you know, and when you think of it in that perspective, it's a lot less scary, right? I think that, you know, but that, especially when there's a lot of stories, especially if, you know, during COVID, a lot of children lost their parents, and, you know, and a lot of the kids, you know, they were told that they just left. And then they're having to deal for the rest of their lives with this abandonment feeling, as opposed to just telling them the truth that their parent died, you know, and it's very sad, especially concerning children, either with children dying and or children experiencing death and not being told the truth. And you can have, there's very different ways on how you can express this to children. That's a, it's acceptable, you know, and yet also not lying to them about things and then, you know, further causing issues that should not be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. That is unfortunately a very common thing that, you know, children that have lost people, they're just lied to. They're just told, oh, well, they went away. They went somewhere else, you know. Well, literally, figuratively, I mean, but you still got to tell them the truth, right? So,
right. And just because mom died doesn't mean that she wanted to abandon you. It's
right.
Just part of the process, right?
Right.
Mom left because right. She didn't want to be with me. No, that's not
right.
Really how this works.
Right.
But, you know, really confusing the process. You know, there's just so much out there that we need to embrace, learn about, mm-hmm. understand mm-hmm. when it comes to death and dying. So hopefully these conversations help you kind of have a little broader understanding. Maybe you even go and do some research or reach mm-hmm. out to either one of us. Our contact sure. information being here, we're happy to answer questions. And guide you in the right place. It's been a great conversation today.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate, you know, I feel that this is really an important conversation to have. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it's very important. Thank you for watching our show. I hope you follow and like us on our different platforms. And I hope that we'll see you soon in another podcast or in person. So
yes,
thank you so absolutely. Much for checking it out. Thank you, Andarta, for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you again. I really do appreciate it. I really enjoy these. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a great magical day, folks. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about Violet, head over to discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. You can also send a personal message to Violet through email, violet@discoveryourspiritualgifts.com. If you love this show, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Until next time, remember, we are all meant to have abundant and joyful lives. We hope to see you soon at Discover Your Spiritual Gifts.